about.
Forget Thursdays.
Who cares what's on Thursday? No one.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hey, party people, Kevin and Bean here. Join us Monday morning for an all-new show. We'll recap this weekend's Grammys. You know, Foo Fighters are performing at the ceremony this year.
Katy Perry will be performing. Katy Perry's going to be performing.
Carrie.
What?
Stop it, Ralph. You're not helping.
Katy Perry performing? Come on, Katy.
Katy Perry performing?
That was more of a question, wasn't it?
No, I'm saying, how great is that?
And now.
Well, must be psychosomatic.
Now, don't worry, that's just a fancy doctor word for your brain is broken. Unfortunately, there's no field of medicine that deals with the brain.
Our feature presentation.
That is unfortunate.
We do have a lot of editing fun, huh?
Oh, really? What part was edited in your memory?
Well, the beginning and the end, where they cut it off. It went longer.
Yes, it went much longer. That was good times.
Yeah,
that was
great.
That was fun.
Nothing better.
Hey, party people. It is Thursday, and we do have an action-packed Kevin and Bean show still ahead. Let's talk about the San Diego Chargers 94 curse to get us going here today, because I can't get my head around this deal.
I didn't realize it was a curse.
Well, that's what some people say. First of all, there are two curses in San Diego sports. One is that they've never won a championship in anything ever. For a major city that has never won a World Series, it's never won a Super Bowl, it's never, you know, never won an NBA title. I mean, they're a pretty big town with a lot of teams over the years who have never won anything. First of all, that's an exercise in futility.
Wow, way to come down. I hear happiness is calling.
Yeah, that is true.
As long as you're not a sports fan, apparently it is. But this Junior Seau news yesterday, which was just a shock to everybody. I mean, you know, one of the most beloved guys in the history of the NFL, played for, 20 seasons or something like that? 12-time Pro Bowler. I mean, the guy had a long, illustrious career. One of the most famous sports personalities ever to come out of San Diego. So he commits suicide. He dies yesterday. And you go, wow, that's terrible. But, you know, you can't get inside a dude's head. Lots of people commit suicide. I'm sure there were some struggles, some issues. Everybody has their own journey. Wow, that's sad. And then you start to think about his teammates. He's the 8th player of 45 guys on the 94 San Diego Chargers team that went to the Super Bowl. He's the 8th one to be dead, all under the age of 45 years old.
Now, really?
Please tell me statistically, insurance man, what are the chances that 8 guys out of 45 die before they're 45 years old?
Well, it seems pretty – the odds are pretty stacked against it, I would think.
Yeah, it does. Now, we all know that
– unless they took an oath
professional.
In 94. They said, look, if we haven't won by 2012,
right,
it's your duty.
Hey, if we lose this game to the 49ers, seriously, we're all getting out of here.
Bite the pill.
No. I mean, look, there's no secret that NFL players have health problems, especially the big guys, you know?
Well, they feel terrible for the rest of their lives, yeah.
Yeah, Chris Mims, for instance, who was another defensive lineman like Sal, I mean, if I remember correctly, he was the huge guy. He was like the 450-pound dude, you know what I mean? And he ended up, he's one of those guys who, what do you do with that body after you stop playing football? Now it's not of any use to you in your job. Now you're just a 450-pound dude, right?
Well, yeah. Thunder from Down Under. But other than that, nothing.
Maybe. So he died in – he had an enlarged heart, and he died. He was 38 years old when he died, by the way. Mm. Let's see. How about Lou Bush? Linebacker Lou Bush died of an apparent heart attack 6 days after he turned 42. Defensive lineman Sean Lee, also of a heart attack. He died last year at 44. Now, here's where it starts to get weird. Curtis Whitley died in 2008. He died of a drug overdose. Okay. At age 39. So at least that was on him, right?
Why is that weird?
What do you mean, why is it
you
weird?
You said here's where it gets weird, and then...
Here's where it gets weird. Okay. Here's where it gets weird, because it's not like they all died of health-related reasons. Now they're starting to get into dying of other reasons. This guy dies of a drug overdose, so what's up with that? Then Doug Miller dies in 1998. He's struck by lightning. He's 28
okay,
years
now
old,
we're
and
getting...
he's struck by lightning.
Oh, now we're getting into it.
God.
Now, this dude was camping in Colorado with some friends. He's struck by lightning. Somebody rushes up to give him CPR when he is struck by lightning again.
Oh,
he was struck
no.
by lightning twice.
What?
28 years old. All right. You want weird? Rodney Culver, running back, again, 94 Chargers. 1996, he dies, along with his wife Karen, in an airplane crash. Value Jet Flight 592. He dies in a plane crash. How many people die in a plane crash?
Yeah, the odds are really stacked against that.
Here's what I like about Bean is that I saw Junior Seau's death, and I thought, wow, that's really sad.
And that was it?
That was it. I didn't think, hey, I'm going to go back to the 94 team and track all of them.
Oh, he knew all this already.
Yeah.
Linebacker David Griggs dies in 1995, 28 years old, car accident.
Right. At least normal. At least he's not getting struck by lightning twice.
Yeah. If there was one guy from the 94 team who died in a car accident, I'd go, oh, that's sad. But you add him up with all these other dudes, and it's like, what's up with... And if you were on that team, if you were a teammate of all of these guys, what are you doing today?
I'm taking cover.
I'm upping my insurance.
Seriously. This is Final Destination, right?
And you even know, all those heart attacks at that young an age.
Yes.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of heart attacks.
Yeah.
Man, you know what that adds up to? If you take all of that, it adds up to the fact that God is a Raiders fan.
Oh, I hope that's not true.
That
would be sad.
God is in heaven with a Raiders jersey on right now going, yes, Scott Seau.
Good to know, because today's day of prayer.
We're going to talk to our friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network later on and talk to him about, you know, all the years that he spent covering Junior Seau and whatnot. But it is interesting. And the other, you know, more serious angle to this is a lot of these ex-athletes, and in particular ex-NFL players, seem to have a really hard time adjusting to life after retirement. Very high incidences of depression.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people wonder, you know, what's going on with their brains after they spend 20 years being banged around?
Yeah.
You know, there was another player not on the Chargers, I think, just last year, who shot himself in the chest and left a note that said, hey, I can't take it anymore. Please take my brain and see if you can figure out what's wrong with me. You know, and he suggested that it had something to do with being an NFL player.
Oh, wow.
And it makes you wonder, you know, Junior Seau, he shoots himself in the chest, too. I didn't hear about a note, but who knows what he was thinking when that happened, if there was, you know, something going on with his brain, too.
Interesting.
So anyway, not good times. That's what I'm here to tell you here today.
All right.
Very creepy. Very sad.
Fantastic start to today's show. Thank you, Bean.
You're welcome.
Let's talk about today's show, shall we?
You're the co-star of the show. You have absolutely no experience whatsoever. You have every right to be extremely apprehensive.
I have a lot of experience, and I've failed a lot. So
you are apprehensive.
You're wrong. I'm apprehensive because I have a lot of experience failing. Dr. Drew will be on the program today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe we can ask him about the 94 curse.
Yeah, we can ask him about that.
Clark Gregg will be in our studios today. He's Agent Coulson in The Avengers, which comes out, what, tonight at midnight?
I think tomorrow.
I think
that's right. Yeah, I think tonight at midnight.
We also have
it's already made $200 million, by the way, before it even opens in the United States. How's that for a successful film?
Because it's been out in Europe?
Yes.
Yeah. And it's great. You all have to see it. Bear Grylls will be on the program today. He's Man vs. Wild.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a new book called Mud, Sweat, and Tears, and some kind of live show where I think he tap dances. So we're going to have to ask Bear Grylls about
that. That's interesting.
We have a brand new internet roundup.
Sweet.
We have Chloe Moretz talking about Dark Shadows.
Also looks like a great movie.
Mm-hmm. And we have your tickets in the pit for the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta. So that's all coming up today. We'll take a break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beatnet.
We're going to talk to Chloe Moretz coming up here after the top of the hour. She's one of the stars of the new Johnny Depp film, Dark Shadows. She has had an unbelievable career. She's a great little actress, right, Ralph?
Amazing. I remember when I saw Kick-Ass, I was like, who is this girl?
Yeah.
And how did she stuff a 40-year-old actress inside that tiny 11-year-old body at the time? It was crazy.
And that horror movie, Let Me In, and she was in Hugo, and she's going to be Carrie in the upcoming movie. I mean, she's unbelievable, and she was born in 1997. That's just what I wanted to point out. She was born the year Titanic came out. So we'll be talking to her on the way here on the Kevin DeBede Show. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Thursday. What's going on?
Young people can be good at stuff.
They certainly can.
Just old people can't, if you ask Kevin. It's the only deal.
How dare you.
Young people can, old people can't.
Can't drive, I'll tell you that.
Charlie Sheen, he can be good at stuff.
Coke?
Like coke. And suing people. He is apparently suing the New York City strip joint Cheetahs. Because the men's club opened a Charlie Sheen VIP room.
Well, it seems legitimate.
It's funny, though.
It is.
You can't just use a celebrity's name and just slap it on something.
What if it's just in his honor? They're not making any money off it or anything. They're not charging a fee. It's just that's what they call their VIP room.
Stop with your silliness.
It's an homage. Charlie contacted his attorney and the club invited him to an eat and greet in the room, which features women exhibiting the art of body sushi.
Oh.
Come and enjoy, Charlie, they said. He said no. Called his lawyer and put a cease and desist order to the club.
If you do the crime, you gotta do the time.
Marty Singer, Charlie's lawyer, released a statement. Charlie has nothing to do with this. And it is unfortunate these despicable parasites have not been exterminated.
Come on! Your client's Charlie Sheen.
Really? Strip club owners are despicable parasites? What does that make the guy who wanted to own the porn family house? What is he? Lawyers.
I miss the old Charlie who wouldn't have sued. He just would have sent the Vatican assassins in there to take care of it.
That's right. They would have just gone there and partied, winning.
More lawyer talk. ABC now is talking about making the family of contestants on The Bachelor sign a confidentiality clause. Apparently.
Well, has there been a leak?
Courtney's mom, she was the one who was the winner when Bachelor Ben Flanick was the Bachelor last season. Her mom is talking to Star Magazine, saying, "Oh, they're not going to get married anytime soon, and they're probably break up. They're not in love."
Well, that's a given.
And ABC's like, "Hey, geez." So now the families may get wrangled into some sort of paperwork, saying that they can't talk to the press about what's going on.
But for how long?
I don't know.
I mean, it's not like the show's over. The show's over, right?
They should be able to talk about the fact that they're not going to get married, like we all knew they wouldn't,
right?
Levi Johnson, remember him? Yes. He was the baby daddy for Bristol Palin.
Oh, sure.
He's got a new girlfriend named Sunny Oglesby, and they're very busy these days getting ready for the next illegitimate newborn baby that she's pregnant with.
Oh, good.
They have had a press conference to announce what they're going to name the baby.
Really?
Sure.
They had a press conference?
Yes, Kevin.
Really?
Weren't you fascinated to know what Levi Johnson was going to name his next baby?
No.
Now, let's remind everybody that he's not famous for anything except he used to date somebody whose mom was famous.
Right.
That's too many degrees of separation for me to care what he's naming his baby.
Unless it's spectacular.
But they put him in a suit and they brought him out on stage Republican National Convention.
And then they swept him under the rug.
It's going to be a little girl, apparently, that he and Sonny are going to have. They're going to call her Breeze. This is a white trash family. Breeze Beretta Johnson. Her middle name is in honor of the Italian gun manufacturer because that's Levi's favorite handgun, the Beretta.
A poor child.
Wow. Where did Breeze come from?
I guess he likes a soft wind on his face.
Maybe he's a Leonard Skinner fan. They have that song, Call Me the Breeze. Maybe that's it.
I'm guessing no.
Breeze Beretta Johnson. So now you know.
Honey, it's my favorite gun.
It's my favorite handgun. It's not like I'm naming her after a rifle or something. Don't be stupid.
Come on now, people.
That's awesome.
And Samuel L. Jackson wants everyone to know that it gets better.
That's not true.
It does get better.
Oh.
He was teased constantly by other kids and picked on when he was young. You know why? He was a stutterer.
Is that right?
How about that? His aunt finally took him to a speech therapist, which he was able to work through his stutter and then got into acting. And he said it's important for kids who have all kinds of problems, not just stuttering, to get help and to try to boost their self-esteem because it can be tough when you're picked on constantly by other kids for something that you have to be ashamed of. He says he's no longer ashamed of the condition. He talks about it all the time and reveals that his friends Denzel Washington and James Earl Jones were also stutterers.
Huh.
Wow.
And they worked through it. So good for those guys.
I hope they were excited about him getting that news out there.
Hey, there's stutters too over there.
Well,
James Earl Jones
has
talked about it, yeah, considerably, yeah.
But I didn't know about Denzel. That's interesting.
Yeah, did Denzel used to have a hard time talking to?
If Samuel L. Jackson had not worked it out, he couldn't do those Apple commercials for Siri.
That's right. I said the other day, remember when he used to be a badass? Now he's like,
yeah.
Siri, where do I buy organic mushrooms?
Exactly. Sam,
now he's missing
Nick,
that
he's
eye.
He's Nick Fury, though, right?
Now he's wearing an eye patch. Things do not get better.
And YouTube apologized yesterday for having banned the Kate Upton doing the Cat Daddy dance video.
That's right. They should apologize. Man, did we have to follow that around aggressively.
Why did they ban it?
It was part of their community guidelines policy.
But there's a million bikini shots on YouTube.
They thought it was too...
But they also have that you have to sign in and be overage,
too
blah, blah, blah.
Too hotsy-totsy.
Please.
There's a million, literally a million, more than that, videos on YouTube with girls in bikinis shaking it.
I don't know, Bean.
She's pretty sexy. So they apologized.
Yeah, they did a 180 and they decided not to ban the video, which was hard to find on Tuesday. I'll tell you, she had linked it from her Twitter account. And so everyone started going there, and then they saw what it was and the content was, and they banned it, and they took it off YouTube, and now they put it back on.
I had a long Twitter day as I put that up, and then everybody said, hey, it's down. And then I'd find it someplace else and put it up, and then they go, hey, it's down.
YouTube says, with the massive volume of videos on our site, sometimes we make the wrong call. When it's brought to our attention that a video has been removed mistakenly, we act quickly to reinstate it. And so...
Sweet.
They want everyone to know. They get it, and they're sorry, and please enjoy your spanking, I guess.
They say that?
I've got to make sure that YouTube comes down to tape this.
I've never seen Kevin as committed to any cause in his life as he was to getting that clip out there
it's
on the internet.
It's stunning how he can focus when he wants to.
When he's interested,
the whole life seems to be just a series of accidents and slapdash sort of behavior where sometimes he shows up, sometimes
how
he doesn't. And yet, when he wants to, he's like a shark with a laser beam on top of his head.
How dare you?
It's remarkable. You just have to engage him, that's all.
Yep, in the right way.
You can put a task in front of him. You go, hey, you're going to interview so-and-so tomorrow, and he won't think about it until he picks up the phone to talk to the person.
Yeah.
Yet some hot blonde is shaking her boobies. All of a sudden, he can think of nothing else.
And is this a criticism? Because I'm fine with all of this.
Well, I think it's curious.
We're just saying maybe you could spread some of that laser-sharp focus over into other areas of your life. Might behoove you a little bit.
Why is Kate Upton in a bikini the single most important thing in the world? I mean, it's awesome.
You'll log in hundreds of man hours just to make sure that is taken care of.
Why isn't she?
And yet can't remember your wallet when you walk out of a house.
Right. I'm fine with those
priorities. I don't have no keys. I don't know how to get here from there.
My priorities are good with me. I like it, and I don't understand the criticism.
That may be part of the problem. All right, let's talk about showbiz birthday. Sports announcer Greg Gumbel is 66 years old today. Actor Bobby Cannavale, one of my favorites. You'd know him if you saw him. He's on Nurse Jackie, if you watch that on Showtime. He plays the new administrator for the hospital, 42
years old. He's
great
on that show.
He's great on that show, 42 years old. Music and film producer and actor Damon Dash is 41. Actor Dule Hill from Psych.
And,
of course, The West Wing.
No sound. Good.
I didn't hear that.
Good.
Have you seen the video, Bean? Have you seen that new video, the reunion video of the cast?
I have not. I haven't been to Funny
Oh, please. That's a lie.
I haven't gone.
I totally believe him.
I forgot about it.
This is what he does. He goes, oh, that's my favorite show of all time! And then he won't go see it.
No, I will absolutely get to it. I get over to Funny or Die from time to time. I just haven't made the special journey just for that video yet.
Special journey? It's not, you're not packing up a covered wagon and you put your family in the back and get some salt bacon and then make the trip across the desert. It's on your computer that you're on all the time.
Let's put it in the new internet roundup today. Let's do that. And I'll see it for sure today.
I still want to talk about getting over there and make the trip to Funny or Die.
The only way you'll see it is if we put it in the roundup?
Yes. I'm very busy.
Dwayle is 37 years old today. Cheryl Burke from Dancing with the Stars is 28 years old today. And actress Christina Hendricks from Mad Men, who plays Joan on that show, she is 37.
Man, stop making noises. Seriously, just noises. Quit. Honestly. It ruins everything you make that noise after. Am I right, Ralph? Ruins everything.
She's 37 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Two different chances for you to win your tickets to the sold-out 20th Annual K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. The show is Saturday. We've got tickets once in the pit and once with backstage passes, so keep listening. Let me tell you what I'm excited about, Kevin.
Okay.
Finally, Johnny Depp and Tim Burton are working together. It's about time. This is the dream collaboration. Oh, wait, it's their 1 millionth movie together, but it looks fantastic like all the rest. It is called Dark Shadows. It opens everywhere on Friday, May 11th. One of the stars of the movie, Chloe Moretz, joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Chloe. How are you? Welcome back.
Hi. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
I know we don't get a chance to talk to you often, but we continue to follow with awe your amazing career. Great job in Hugo, and this Hick movie that you have coming out looks amazing, too. It must even be a surprise to you how much you're able to do, how much work you're able to get, right?
Oh, yeah, no, completely. I mean, it's still such a huge, you know, honor and blessing to me to be able to even, you know, be able to work with such awesome directors and actors, and it's, you know, I still pinch myself.
What's it like with Tim Burton? He seems like a crazy genius.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, going into it, I figured, oh, you know, I wonder what the set's going to be like. Is it going to be this weird kind of eccentric vibe that's kind of off-putting? But no, it's like, you know, when you get on set, Johnny and Tim are, like, two of the most normal people on set.
What?
Like, yeah, it's great. They're super professional, and they just, you know, they're just nice guys.
I have always heard this about Tim Burton, and you don't hear this about a lot of directors, but he is super collaborative in that he lets the actors kind of shape what the role is going to be like rather than just kind of carry out his command and his vision. Was that the case with you in Dark Shadows?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's one of the most, like, hands-on kind of collaborative directors I've ever worked with in many ways, you know, with... I mean, especially with, like, the look of the character, with the kind of visual aspect of who your character is, he's very, like, he allows you to have your own idea, you know? And it's really interesting.
That's weird because his movies all have a unique, amazing look. You can look at a movie and go, Tim Burton.
Yeah.
And the fact that he allows collaboration is a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, with a lot of directors, you'd never imagine how collaborative they are, you know, but that's what makes a good director, is someone who is amazing with their actors, and they can just, like, you know, good with everyone.
Yeah, well, everyone who's ever worked for Tim Burton wants to work with him again, that's for sure. Tell me about Carolyn Stoddard. Tell me who you play and how you fit into the Tim Burton film.
Okay, well, I play Carolyn Stoddard, who is Elizabeth Collins Stoddard, which is Michelle Pfeiffer's character. I play her daughter. And I play this 1970s eccentric kind of Woodstocky flower girl who is got this free spirit, but at the same time she's trapped in this seaport in the middle of Maine, and she lives in this dilapidated castle with all of her whole family that she has no want or need to be anywhere near them. And you think that she's just definitely, you know, very teenage angsty, but little do you know.
For people who aren't familiar with Dark Shadows, explain the whole 1700s, 1900s thing.
Yeah, well, you know, Dark Shadows is about this vampire who, he actually is a normal guy, and he kind of has this love affair with this witch, and he messes her over, and she curses him as a vampire, and then she puts him in the ground for years and years and years, and then he's reawakened in 1972. And it's basically about him helping his family out and seeing where everything is gone, and it's this kind of anticlimactic experience that you watch.
So what was it like for you as a child born in the 90s to now all of a sudden be Woodstocky in the early 1970s? Did that just seem like a crazy time for you once you started to do the research into what it was like?
Oh, yeah, it was so fun to get into because, like, I love the 70s because I'm like, I mean, I'm very like, I'm a romantic and I'm idealistic. And so like, you know, looking to the 70s, it's like one of the best time eras for me. So to be able to kind of go in there and wear really amazing wardrobing and kind of live in that music of like, you know, Simon and Garfunkel and the Carpenters and, you know, kind of marinate in that kind of feeling. It was a lot of fun.
That's terrible music, Chloe.
How dare you, Kevin? I'm with Chloe on this. But how weird for you and your friends, though, when you're listening to Simon and Garfunkel and the Carpenters and they're all listening to Flo Rida. That must just be weird for you, Chloe.
Yeah, my friends didn't really get it. They were like, I mean, I guess so, but my mom listens to that. And I'm like, it's amazing.
We don't have much time, but I do want to play a clip of with you and Johnny Depp. Talking about how you really, really, really need to get married. You need to do it soon and have kids.
What is your age, if I may?
15.
15 and no husband. You must put those birthing hips to good use at once, lest your womb shrivel up and die.
You're weird.
But do you think me too weird for a woman of this land?
You obviously mean Vicky.
She has the most fertile birthing hips I have ever laid eyes upon.
You're way too weird.
Johnny Depp is incredible. Michelle Pfeiffer's in the movie. The beautiful Eva Green plays the witch, directed by Tim Burton. And our guest, Chloe Moretz. Go see Dark Shadows. Thanks so much for the time, Chloe. Enjoyed it.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks. Nice, we appreciate
you
it.
Again.
All right.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Was it true that there was infighting amongst the band that sort of was brought on by all the pressure and the record company and all that kind of stuff? If they are not interested and you guys are having trouble making... Was it true that the infighting are...
Wow!
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Fade out there a little bit at the end, too.
Did that happen like that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm afraid so. Yeah.
Wow.
And once again, because we are completely oblivious to what's on the air on our own show, it was the listeners who tipped it off, tipped us off to that moment with and said, you. Guys, what's going on with Kevin?
You bastards.
After listening to these for years and years and years, I'm starting to be able to diagram the nature of Kevin's moments. Most of them which start with a statement, and then he will back off it and then go completely around and then come back again and make the same statement again. So he'll be like, so is there infighting, you know, when the records and they come in and they go around and then, you know, when the birds land and then the coffee gets cold and then was there infighting? He'll start with something. He's trying to talk about, blow it up, and then try to say it again.
All right.
Let's listen to that one more time.
It's a progress here.
I think you'll start to see the trend I'm talking about.
I didn't even hear it.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Was it true that there was infighting amongst the band that sort of was brought on by all the pressure and the record company and all that kind of stuff? If they are not interested and you guys are having trouble making... Was it true that the infighting are...
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Starts with infighting, blows it all up, and then comes back and tries to give you infighting.
And for some reason, it seems like I was really in a rush to get through that oddness.
Yes.
That didn't make any sense.
We all were.
Fascinating. Hey, if you want a complete contrast to Kevin, how about the man who climbed Mount Everest at age 23? Bear Grylls joins us next from Man vs. Wild here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Thursday.
But did Bear Grylls show us where to get the Kate Upton doing the Cat Daddy video?
He did not.
No, he did not.
That was our own monkey.
Kevin did that. Was tireless in his work of getting that out to the people.
Thank you.
We all want to thank him for that. YouTube apologized today, by the way, because they banned it from their site after it was initially released. Then they did an about face and put it back on the site. So if you're looking for Kate Upton doing the Cat Daddy dance for famed fashion photographer Terry Richardson, you can now find it on YouTube. Thank God.
And we've got it in our Internet Roundup, which is coming up next hour.
There you go. So it's all well taken care of.
Do you guys remember YouTube apologizing for anything before?
I don't think they ever had to. Mm-mm. But the outcry was huge on this. They had to back off.
That's funny.
And by the way, God bless Kate Upton for not just being a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model and then just disappearing, slinking away. She maximizes those boobs every single day in one way or another, doesn't she?
She likes to shake them.
No one has ever had more viral videos than Kate Upton. No one.
Yep.
She likes to shake them.
Yep.
She likes to dance.
Yes.
She's a dancer.
Yes.
That Terry Richardson, he's a creepy dude, isn't he?
He's sort of creepy, but he does good work with this.
Yeah, he's creepy.
Didn't you tell us a few weeks ago that he had done a photo shoot with Lindsay Lohan and probably nailed her?
Yeah, she nailed him, apparently, and then wouldn't let go. Kept calling and texting and stuff. And he's like, hey, listen, I'm creepy, but you're creepy.
Right.
You're too creepy.
Yeah, you don't
for
call
me.
Lindsay back if you've got Kate Upton over that day.
That's true. Speaking of creepy, do you remember Puck from The Real World? He was one of the early Real World stars. He was on Real World San Francisco. And Puck was sort of a, I think he was a bike messenger, but he was a scumbag, never bathed, and he would blow snot rockets all over the apartment they were living in, and he would eat peanut butter out of the jar with his hands, and everyone hated Puck. He sort of became an icon of reality television, of that guy, the a-hole that no one really wanted to be around.
He was Spencer before Spencer came
along. You'll be happy to hear, like I was, that someone recently found out he's been stuck in Van Nuys County Jail for the past 2 months.
Really?
Yeah. He was pulled over in a traffic stop, and there was an outstanding warrant for his arrest because he had failed to appear in court on a domestic violence charge. He also violated a restraining order against his wife, Betty. So he's been in jail for 2 months, and they hit him with a bail of $225,000, which apparently he hasn't got, so he's been sitting there for 2 months.
All right.
That makes me happy.
News.
Yeah.
There is some justice.
It's nice to know when you watch those douchebags on reality television and you think to yourself, someday that guy's going to get his. It's nice to be proven right once in a while. This Linda Evangelista case we started talking about yesterday. This is the supermodel who had a baby with billionaire François-Henri Pinault. She's got a 5-year-old son with François. She is asking for a record-breaking $46,000 a month in child support. That case gets underway in Manhattan Family Court today. If she indeed does get awarded this amount, it'll be the highest amount of money anyone has ever paid child support.
Wow.
The current record, who do you think holds the current record? What celebrity holds the current record of the most money he pays out to his baby mama?
Steven Spielberg?
Kobe?
Nope, nope.
I feel like we should know this.
K-Fed?
Nope.
Should we know this? Should we know? Just ignore him. Should
he's
we
not,
know this?
He's not spending any money. He's getting money.
Should we know it?
You'll remember it. No, it's not a sports figure. You'll remember the case when you hear about
TV,
it.
TV, movies,
music.
Music. Musician.
I'm drawing a blank here.
Diddy.
Oh, Diddy. Oh,
Sean Diddy. P. Diddy Puff Daddy Dua Diddy Combs currently pays out $19,000 a month to his baby mama. And that, at the time, was considered an exorbitant amount. But if this 46K number holds, they'll be dancing in the streets.
Are you not entertained? You not entertained?
No, I'm not.
They mic'd some of the hockey players, Ralph, in some of the playoff games recently. And one of them said that exact
phrase. Oh, really?
Are you not entertained?
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, so he's clearly seen Diddy.
Who would have thought white Canadians listen to Diddy? It's craziness. And Kourtney Kardashian is pimping out her wedding.
Oh, what a surprise.
Oh, wait,
that's not Kourtney.
That's not
Chloe.
Yeah.
Oh, Kourtney's cute, but she's adorable. Bad taste.
She's bad. She's marrying that douchebag Scott Disick.
Wow.
And now she is shopping the rights to televise her wedding. Bidding starts at $1 million. Do I hear $1 million?
Seriously, we're
anyone?
Doing this again?
$1 million. Lisa, $1 million over here.
Oh,
Lisa,
my
Kevin,
God.
Kevin, $1.2 million?
No.
Sold to Lisa May for $1 million.
Will you buy me that purse I want over there? I'll do anything because I'm a whore.
That's the starting bid is $1 million for the rights to televise her wedding in Mexico.
Whore.
She's getting married at Joe Francis's place in Puerto Vallarta.
All right.
Just gets better.
The Girls Gone Wild producer.
Perfect fit.
Yeah, it
now,
is.
Chloe did her wedding on her TV show, right? And then Kim had a big special for her wedding,
yeah,
right?
But Kourtney doesn't have her own show.
Ah, she's just a keeping up with.
So she is shopping them out. She'll take anybody. The biggest loser could come along and do hers, and she'd be fine. So any reality show that wants the rights to her wedding, she's now starting to take bids.
Gotta be great if no one did.
Yeah, but what are the odds, Lise?
This
is why they won't.
We could dream.
This is why they won't sell me a hunting rifle with a laser scope on it.
They're doing the right thing in general, but this particular case.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthday, sports announcer Greg Gumbel turned 66 years old today. Actor Bobby Cannavale, he is 42 years old. He was on The Sopranos. He's on Nurse Jackie. So good on that.
Isn't he Cam's ex-clown partner on Modern Family
as
well?
That's right. He's Fizbo's ex-partner. Yeah.
That's quite a role.
It was a great role, great episode. The hard drinking clown who comes back and tries to put the team back together.
They're all great episodes.
42 years old today. Dulé Hill from West Wing and currently can be seen on Psych. He is 37 years old. And actress Christina Hendricks, who plays Joan over there on Mad Men. She's having a great season. I'm glad to see her back. 37 years old today. Her body is, it defies gravity.
Yeah.
Her body.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a waist like a wasp, and then she's got these hips and boobs that just set the world on fire.
It's not normal.
It's spectacular.
Yeah.
She's 37. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup coming up in a minute. We got Weenie Roast tickets in the pit for you later this hour. Actor Clark Gregg from the Avengers film. Andrew Siciliano from NFL.com talking about, or NFL TV, I should say, talking about the tragic death of Junior Seau in San Diego yesterday. All of that on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, let's welcome our friend Bear Grylls back to the Kevin and Bean Show, formerly of Man vs. Wild, now out with a new autobiography called Mud, Sweat, and Tears. Hey, Bear, how are you, man?
Hi, guys. Hi, Kevin. Hi, Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
How are you guys doing?
We're good. You must have just high-fived everybody within 100 miles when you came up with that title. You went, yes, Mud, Sweat, and Tears, that's it.
Well, it kind of sums up the journey, you know. It's been a lot of mud over the years, from the early kind of days growing up, getting stuck in quick mud as a kid, to the sweat of going through all the military stuff and the, you know, the British Special Forces journey, and then the tears of kind of a lot of struggles, and, you know, I broke my back whilst I was in the military and all of this stuff. So it's kind of the story of it all.
I want to talk about you breaking your back in just a minute, but I want to start with your childhood. You know, we always look at a guy like you, British SAS, Man versus Wild. What would possess a guy to want to do Man versus Wild? And then you read about your dad, and you go, okay, all right. It all makes sense now, because dad was one of those thrill seekers and had you doing that at an early age, right?
Yeah, you know, he'd been a Royal Marine commando and was a climber, and, you know, he taught me to climb at a young age. And I think, you know, I grew up just learning to love adventure, and also finding it was one of the few things I was good at a young age. And I think you kind of form your identity a lot of that when you're kind of, you know, five or six.
There's a photo of you with the goggles, and you're covered in snow. And I look at it, and I go, dear God, that looks miserable. And underneath it, it says, gritting it out in the bad weather in the mountains, one of the great loves of my life.
Well, there is a kind of magic to it, you know. And it's
there's the magic is when you get warm.
I don't know. It's like, I think as humans, when we're squeezed, you see what we're made of. And life normally can be quite fluffy, you know, and I love the rawness of those moments, and I come alive in that, you know. Listen, don't get me wrong, I love home as well. I've got three young boys, nothing better than getting cozy with them, but there is a magic to the wild when it gets difficult.
Does your wife keep a close eye on you with your three sons and go, look, take it easy with them. They don't need to be skydiving and climbing Mount Everest when they're six.
The thing is, they're getting totally out of hand. You know, they're like totally wild. And Shara says, look, you've got to start wearing looser underpants. We need to have a girl. So
hey,
she's
Bear.
A little bit outnumbered, but no, it's all fun.
Oh, that poor woman having all those guys
in
the house.
Can you imagine having Bear Grylls as your husband and then three of his sons?
Yeah.
Oh, nightmare.
Marmaduke's my middle son's teacher the other day said, listen, it's all well and good Marmaduke knowing how to take the doors off a helicopter and rappel out of it, but his mathematics, he's got to put some more work into that, you know. Part of me thinks, way to go, you know. And the other part thinks, oh, you got to do the mathematics a little bit.
Sure.
This is the voice of Bear Grylls here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about his new autobiography, available out now and everywhere, called Mud, Sweat, and Tears. Will you have the kids learn at least karate or something, since that helped you so much at an early age in terms of discipline and self-reliance, Bear?
Well, I kind of took up karate because bullying was so rife at the school I was at, you know, and it was like, it was self-preservation, and it totally worked, you know, but I'm hoping my kids aren't going to get that, so I don't want my kids to have to learn how to fight.
No, but they'll learn from you, I'm sure, just goofing around.
They are learning. I teach them quite a few cool little tricks, and then they go to school, and then they get in trouble for putting little Johnny in an arm lock,
right.
And I get in trouble, and it all kind of backfires. You know?
So before you did Man vs. Wild, we kind of had an overview of the fact that you jumped out of an airplane, your chute malfunctioned, and you broke your back. But it was fascinating to read the chapter on it because, and by the way, your chapters, a page and a half, thank you.
I agree. Publishers were going, oh, you can't have short chapters, but I get into bed and I think, right, I'm going to read a chapter
right.
of the book. And if it's 30 pages, I think, oh, God, I need to, you know, I just want a quick chat.
It makes really slow readers like myself feel like I'm flying. A page and a half. I read 16 chapters today. That, for me, has never happened. But tell us about, if you can briefly, the breaking the back and jumping out of the airplane and that whole thing, because that was that seems like that would end most people's lives.
Well, that was a kind of struggle time for me, and it was a low point. And, you know, I was helping with the anti-poaching down in South Africa whilst I was in the military, and we were on a break. We were skydiving, and just a jump went very wrong, and a canopy ripped, and I smashed into the desert and broke my back in three places, and had to spend the next year or so back in the UK in military rehabilitation. And, you know, but it's funny because people say, oh, you must be very positive to go from that to, you know, the summit of Everest and everything else. But it wasn't like that for me. It was a real kind of dark time of struggle where everything you've taken for granted, like your health and your movement, you lose, and you have to kind of piece your confidence and everything together bit by bit. But, you know, friends and my family and my Christian faith was a big thing through that. And sometimes I think in life it does take a knock to make you realize what you really want to get up and do. And for me, it was like life's giving me a second chance.
I'd like to suggest falling from a plane and landing on your back and breaking into three places more than a bump.
Yeah, well, maybe.
It's a very loud wake-up call is what that is.
Did doctors and other knowledgeable people tell you that you'd never walk again and all that negative stuff?
Well, they didn't know, and not knowing was hard, and I couldn't kind of get my head around that. And then I kind of thought, well, do you know what? It means I can try and determine this. And, you know, and then everyone thought it was a bit crazy, all the dream of trying to get, you know, this Everest expedition on track. But the only people who didn't laugh were the rehab staff, and they might not have believed I could do it, but they never dissed it. And I think they kind of understood the value, you know, for all the soldiers there who were injured. You've got to have something to hope for, you know.
At least have a dream, right, and a way to rebuild, yeah.
Hey, Bear, what are you doing with all of these survival skills now that you're not doing Man vs. Wild and you're not in the special services? Do you sometimes just jump down onto the ground and start a fire in 5 seconds with your eyes because you can, or what are you using them for?
Well, I do. You know, I've always done kind of the Man vs. Wild stuff, you know, from a young age, long before the TV cameras were there. But, you know, we're building some really fun new, you know, program ideas and trying to be smart about, you know, what to do, not rushing into it. But, you know, I'm super excited to start filming again and, you know, want to keep it on brand of adventure and pushing the boundaries and empowering other people. So, you know, it's been an amazing road, Man vs. Wild, and I've loved that. But it's also kind of good to finish a series strong and a little bit early, and kind of gives you momentum for the next step.
I'd like to just back up and make sure that, can you light a fire with your eyes?
No, I'm okay. I'm good, but not that good.
Okay, all right.
Bear Grylls' new book is out. He is looking awfully badass on the cover, by the way.
Look at the back, though. He's covered with mud.
Yep.
Well, it's mud, like sweat, and tears. Nice bear on the front, and then it's kind of normal bear on the back.
Exactly. And it is a fascinating read of an extraordinary man. Go to BearGrylls.com for more information and on Twitter at Bear Grylls. Always great to have you on the Kevin DeBede Show, my friend. Thanks for coming on.
Total pleasure. Can I say a shout out to Dell, my best buddy, who loves your show, listens every day, and you're heroes to him?
No.
Nope.
Thank you, Bear.
Okay, guys. All the best. All right.
So Cinco de Mayo is Saturday. We're all going to be out at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater for the 20th annual K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta. You want to join us? You want tickets in the pit? You can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. But you got to earn them. You got to stump Rodney. We're looking for people who have trivia questions about any of the bands on the bill. So if you know something cool about Coldplay or Incubus or The Offspring or Silver Sun Pickups, whoever it is, give us a call right now. If you can stump Rodney.
It's going to have to be good, though. I mean, let's not forget to mention that Rodney's been around since the 1800s and knows every single band and every single piece of trivia. So
yeah, obviously. Yeah, okay. He's got that photographic memory about all things related to rock and roll. So 1-800-520-1067. If you can stump Rodney with a trivia question, you'll have a chance at pit tickets for the Weenie Roast. Right now, here on the Kevin and Bean Show, time for a brand new internet roundup.
Yeehaw! Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's internet roundup.
Got a good batch, a good sesh for you. Good sesh. Go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com for the internet roundup. You can see all of these videos. The first one is an awesome movie. It looks so good, called Monsters Brawl. And basically, it's a movie that comes out on DVD June 12th, and it takes Cyclops, a witch, the swamp monster, werewolf, lady vampire, the mummy, Frankenstein, and a zombie, and they call them all to a UFC-type ring fight to see who's the baddest monster of all. It looks so great.
Eight legendary monsters from around the world summoned to the ring to determine the most powerful monster of all time. It's the ultimate fight of the living dead. Monster Brawl.
Anyone who watches Monster Brawl is going home in a body bag.
Wow, even if you watch it. That's crazy.
That sounds dangerous.
Now there's a real movie called Harmless, and I believe this is a religious group that's put this out.
That's
and
correct,
they're,
yes.
They're very worried about the porn. If you watch porn on a computer, let's say your son watches porn on a computer, demons.
Really? Demons go into
it? Demons will follow the porn right into your house.
Oh, my God.
That's what this movie's about.
You let something in with that pornography. Where there was light, there's dark. The boys are so infected. But now there's just...
This is not harmless.
So harmless is the name
of
that one.
It is crazy, though. I mean, the guy just watches a little, you know, a little U-porn or something. And the next thing you know, there's the chick from The Ring following around. The little girl with the dress, you know. It's just, it turns into an actual horror movie just from watching a little TNA. It's weird.
The video that we've been telling you so much about, Kate Upton does the cat daddy. This is celebrity photographer Terry Richardson. And he just came up with the idea and said, hey, why don't you dance to this? And she did. And it's good.
Hi, I'm Terry Richardson. And only in America tonight, ladies and gentlemen, Kate Upton demonstrating the
cat daddy.
Take it away, Kate. All
right. Baby got ass, shout to call it Venice. You BS Jackson's getting with the liver.
That's all you guys did.
Well, she does it for a little longer than that, and it's fascinating, but wow.
She barely keeps that bikini on.
It is really struggling to hang on.
Yeah.
And then there's also a video up there of two girls, I think they're Maxim girls, doing the cat daddy, and almost equally hot, maybe more, because there's two of them. It's pretty fantastic.
This is their basically their answer video to what Kate Upton is doing. They're saying, oh, yeah, you think you're hot dancing with the cat daddy? Check this out.
We're going to outsex you. And that's something I'd like to see that battle start.
Are you going to get demons from these?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Grandmas watch Kardashian sex tape. Three grandmas.
Oh, dear God. Oh, dear God, with this video.
Three grandmas sitting around the table talking about Kim Kardashian and why she's famous. And then one of them, who's seen the sex tape, takes them over to a computer and shows it to them. And then they comment.
Oh, my God. Look at it! Two hands with space in the middle.
What is her problem? She's just laying there.
Oh, she has no hair. That's the Brazilian.
That's the Brazilian.
Look at his sitting up like Taurus.
It's something that you really want to see, and then you're sorry that you did. It's just,
you can't ever unsee that.
You don't see the porn. All you see is the grandmas commenting on it. And
it's purple, they say it was. Terrifying.
This is Deb Spoons Perry. I don't know if anybody living is familiar with the spoons, but you take two spoons and you play them like a musical instrument, and she actually plays the Black Keys.
I've discovered a band called the Black Keys, and the favorite track that I like is called Lonely Boy. And I've now got it as part of my, a Daisy Spoons, Rocking Spoons numbers.
All right, so she does that song with the spoons, and when you hear clicking or tapping or something like that, that's her on the spoons. By the way, really good at it, whatever it is.
She's
sounds great.
Whatever spoons are, that's pretty good.
Let's remember the song Spoon Man by Soundgarden was about a street performer who used to play with the spoons. I mean, there are people for some reason who are really into that as a musical instrument. I don't get it, but some people love it.
Sometimes you need to teach your kids where, you know, what happens when you die.
Where will I go when I'm dead and gone? Where will I go when I die? If my body's down in a hole in the ground, will I fly up in the sky? Oh, where will I go when I die?
Dead goldfish go down the toilet bowl.
Dead mice go out in the trash.
My sick cat disappeared at the vet.
And grandma came home in a pot full of ashes.
Nice, very nice.
So nice.
Very nice. There's the White House correspondence this week in Unnecessary Censorship with Jimmy Kimmel, which is very funny, where Obama... It looks like he's cursing in front of Obama, who's watching the video, which is very funny. And there's Rapist Beware. This is the final one we're going to highlight for you.
I can't listen to this again. I'm sorry. This is too – this hurts too much.
Here's the thing about this guy. And rape, not ever, ever, ever funny. That's what my charity is about. But this guy is serious and is really, really trying to teach girls how to avoid – being raped.
Okay.
And some of his ideas might not be the best.
I want to welcome you here to this Rapist Beware course. I'm going to teach you how to protect yourself against being murdered.
If you're being attacked, you must consider any and all options to ensure your safety, even if it means being gross. You might try belching loudly in your assailant's face, or if you can.
So I'm not sure belching is going to do it. You know what I mean?
He's not done.
Yeah,
he's serious.
Pass gas. The smell may drive him away.
Sure.
Try urinating on yourself.
Okay.
Or if you can, try to on yourself. Rub on your arms and face. Quit fighting and wait for your chance. Then bite off his.
Here's the big theme song. Heart in the right place.
I think those are excellent suggestions, by the way, Kevin.
Some of them. Burping? Come on.
Well, I mean, come on. You gotta do what you can do.
Yeah, but burping?
Maybe you don't have to pee right then. Maybe burp's all you got. You're just trying to do something
I'm
to gross
saying.
Him out and make it less sexy, I think, is what his goal is here.
I'm just
I think
saying
it's a good idea.
Poking the eyes and other things, maybe grabbing the balls, perhaps
right.
better.
A little more self-defense kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, you can see all of these videos at krock.com or kevinandbean.com.
Kevin and Bane, later net.
Hi, it's Lisa. You know, when people meet my mom, and yes, she is still around. Thanks for asking. They always
say,
hot? Yes, she is. She looks great, and she's a lot of fun, and I brag about her all the time because I have an awesome mom. And I'd like to give her something to brag about, too. And when I send her chocolate-dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries, that's when the bragging begins. Sherry's Berries chocolate-dipped strawberries are gorgeous. They are huge and mouth-watering. The strawberries are dipped in dark chocolate or white chocolate or milk chocolate. Then they're topped with a decorative swizzle or nuts or chocolate chips. Honestly, you have to see them to see how impressive they are. And they start at just $19.99. And Sherry's Berries has a special offer for you guys. It's only this week. You can double the berries for just $10 more. You just go to berries.com. It's berries.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and then you type in my name, Lisa May. Or you can call them at 866-FRUIT-02. So go to berries.com, click on the microphone, type in my name, Lisa May, and do it now. This offer expires at midnight on Friday.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it is 20 minutes till 8 o'clock.
All right, Rodney on the Rock Show. Thanks so much for
Rodney.
Coming into the show.
No,
all right, it's going to be
Kevin and Bean Show,
got
Rodney.
Tickets
listen.
For Coachella. Who
no,
wants
no,
to go to Coachella?
K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta
Coachella
on Saturday.
Coachella Pinata.
It's time, if you want to call right now, at 1-800-520-1067
right.
with trivia questions about the bands
trivia
playing on
questions
Saturday.
About the Beach Boys.
Nope. Just the groups that are playing on Saturday.
About the Monkees.
Let's see if you can stump Rodney.
Baby Jones passed away.
Yes.
Can you stump Rodney? Can you stump Rodney?
Yeah.
Let's all stump Rodney now.
Yeah, wig wham bam.
All right. Tony Basil.
Okay,
wait, there's
listen.
Not been a question yet.
Playing the... Almost acoustic.
Nope.
Weenie Roast.
Nope. Okay. Listen, Rodney,
right.
try to pay attention. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to the callers. They're going to ask a question. And the questions are all going to be about bands that are playing on Saturday. Okay.
Peter
so
Gabriel.
You see, again, you don't need to bring up people like Tony Basil and Peter Gabriel.
Peter
the questions
Gabriel
are going to
be playing.
No.
Somewhere.
The questions are going to be about Incubus and The Offspring and Pennywise and Garbage and bands like that. Okay. So try to pay attention. Try to answer the questions that are asked. Okay.
The Escape Club.
All right. Let's start with Patrick. Hi, Patrick. Stump Rodney.
Okay, I want to know where Pennywise got their name from.
Sheena Easton.
Oh, is it, my God. Is it Sheena Easton, Patrick?
No, it's not.
Mm.
Ha! Stump!
Okay, you haven't won tickets, but you are in the drawing.
Where's the name come from?
Yeah, we need the answer.
Yeah, you need
the
to know.
The name comes from the Stephen King novel.
All right,
which
thank you.
Everybody knows, Rodney.
I know,
everybody
that's what
knows
I'm saying.
It.
Sheena Easton read the novel and
she had nothing to do with it.
She came up with it. She said, hey, you guys should be.
Patrick is
Pennywise.
In the drawing. Let's see if Letitia can stump Rodney. Okay, that was not a strong start. Sheena
All
Easton
right.
was not close to the right answer, but let's see how you do with her question.
Letitia, hi.
Hi.
Make sure the question is complex because Rodney is, he knows all.
Okay.
Good luck.
My question is, where was Chris Martin born?
Chris Martin?
Yes. She's, that's Chris wow. Martin. Yes. Where was Chris Martin born?
All right.
No, that's you have to give us an answer.
He was born, yes.
Yes, but where?
Oh.
What city? I think she's looking for a city, maybe a city and country.
Oh. Exactly.
Even a country, Rodney.
Berlin. All right.
That is,
no,
a, actually, that is a city.
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't name his city.
All right.
He wasn't born in Germany, though.
Berlin.
No. Was
wrong,
he, Letitia?
Wrong, wrong.
Letitia, what's the
Bauhaus.
Answer?
Bauhaus.
Denver, England. Denver, England.
Doesn't matter. England, close enough.
Yeah. All right. You're in the drawing, too. All right. I got to give Rodney credit. Although he thought he was talking about the 80s band with Terry Nunn,
yeah,
he
Berlin,
actually did name
Metro.
Something that was a city, though. So that was close.
Yeah.
Let's,
Sex,
I'm a. Let's go to Arnold. Arnold is on line 4, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show, trying to stump Rodney for Weenie Roast tickets. Hey, Arnold.
Hello. Hi, Kevin and Bean. How you doing?
Good luck stumping Rodney. He's on fire.
Oh, man. I hear him. How did Dexter and Greg from The Offspring meet?
How did they meet?
Well.
Wow.
What?
What?
Did they meet well?
Nicely.
That's your answer?
Really?
I think
it. You want to try again, hello? Rodney, or is that your final answer?
Devo?
Oh.
Why do you say
what
Devo?
How does Devo, how does that even factor in?
Arnold.
They whip it.
Arnold.
Real good.
How did they meet?
At the high school cross-country team.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Not close, Rodney. Thank you.
All right.
Alex, on line 6, has an incredibly easy question for anyone who's been paying attention.
You're
Rodney.
Off let's see a little bit today, Rodney.
All
yeah,
right.
A little bit.
Flock of seagulls.
No, there's been no question yet.
All right.
Alex is going to ask you a question now. Hi, Alex.
Tickets for Coachella
Good morning,
Fiesta.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Morrissey.
Coachella's behind us. This is just the Weenie Roasty Fiesta.
Men at work.
All right. What's your question,
Men at work or not playing?
This Saturday on the Bud Light Stage Dos, there's going to be a Monsters and Men performing. What country do they come from?
Asia.
Okay, he came up with a country, sort of, a continent. But...
No, that's a band. That's Asia, the band he's coming up with. No, nope.
Showed in your eyes.
Alex, is that correct?
No, it's actually Iceland.
Iceland.
Right. I thought you would know that, Rodney. You play If Monsters Are Men on your show, right?
Arcadia?
Stop that.
Let's try Marcel. He's on line 7. I think we only have time for one more to stump Rodney.
Simon
here.
LeBon and Nick Rhodes in Arcadia.
Marcel, good luck getting past Rodney here for Weenie Rose tickets.
All right, thanks. Rodney, what is the name of the original DJ for the band Incubus?
Haircut 100. That's a whole different
DJ
band.
DJ Haircut 100.
DJ Haircut.
Is that correct, Marcel?
It's close. Actually, it's Gavin Koppel.
Mm.
Well,
Ted Koppel was the DJ?
Come on, Rodney. For God's sakes, can you hear?
You didn't get any of them right, Rodney. They stumped you with every single call.
Human League.
And still you give us wrong answers, even after the game.
Kaja Gugu?
Is it going to be Patrick? Is it going to be Letitia?
All right, what did I win?
Arnold? How about Alex? How about Marcel? Lisa May, who's winning tickets in the pit?
The winner is Patrick.
Patrick.
Yeah!
First guy.
Right.
Patrick, you are in the pit.
All right. Right on.
All right, I won.
No, you didn't win, Rodney.
Shalimar.
Patrick. Patrick. Ralph, are you all geeking out? Agent Paul Coulson's in the next room? Right?
He's so good in the Avengers, too,
he
by
is.
The way. Here's the genius of the Avengers. And, Kevin, I know you had a chance to see it at our screening. I saw it a couple weeks ago. The genius of the Avengers is that Joss Whedon somehow has managed to juggle a dozen characters and give them all their just desserts. Everyone gets the time and the moments they need in
no
that
one's
film.
Wasted it. I don't
it's
know
insane.
How he does that.
Yeah. He's got 6 superheroes. He's got a bunch of ancillary characters that they're supporting them in S.H.I.E.L.D. and villains and so many moving pieces to this movie. And
is
yet,
it like a 10-hour movie or something?
No. It's I don't know, 2.5, whatever it is. But it goes by like that, which is – I get less and less patient with movies these days. But 2.5, I was still like, bring me more. I still want to see more. And everybody in this movie gets what they need, and the characters are served, and the story's great. And then you lose none of the action. That's all there, too. It's really sort of a remarkable movie achievement what he's done with this movie.
And don't leave as soon as the credits start.
Yeah, and then don't leave after that.
Really?
Oh, wait, I left after that.
Did
after
you,
that.
Did, you didn't stay for the second after-credit scene?
Oh, my
God. I only saw the first after-credit
scene. Oh, Kevin,
you
lose.
Back.
Because I always wait till the end.
Oh, you lose.
But in this one, I knew that there was an after thing, and when I saw it, I left.
Oh, you lose.
Oh.
You lose hard.
Well, that hurts me.
Oh, you have no idea.
Well, I've lost hard for a long time.
Batman Clark comes in and kicks their ass.
Is that right?
Yeah. Clark Gregg is here. He is Agent Coulson in the Avengers movie opening at midnight tonight. He'll join us next in studio here on the Kevin Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday.
Oh, maybe I'll do Showbiz Beat, or maybe I'll just eat my Avengers cupcakes.
Oh, look at those.
Oh, yeah. Do you have Avengers cupcakes?
No.
Do you have Hulk cupcakes? Do you have Hammer of Thor cupcake? No, you don't. I do. These are mine.
Lisa, you're a yellow belt. Go take them from them.
She's a mauve belt.
I got Captain America's shield cupcake.
Don't worry, I'll get me a cupcake.
I want the Black Widow.
There's no Black Widow cupcake.
What the hell?
No.
Those are gorgeous.
You just want to say you ate?
Yes.
Something that had to do with Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah. Just saying.
Yeah. No, these are all edible too. Hulk's face. You can eat Hulk's face. I don't know if I'd want to. I can't imagine that tastes very good, but I'm saying.
Mm. Why are you closing the lid? You just
because
keep that there like that.
I know
that.
How you are, and
just,
I know.
You just leave that right there,
by the time
there,
I
mister.
Turn around after my report, they'll be gone.
They'll be gone by birthdays.
Yeah, she's like a cupcake ninja. All right, let's talk showbiz news, shall we? Kourtney Kardashian, pregnant reality star Kourtney Kardashian, is apparently selling her celebrity wedding video rights. In Touch magazine claims that the opening bid is $1 million. If you want to televise her wedding, it's going to cost you at least $1 million.
She is the lesser of the Kardashians, just in terms of anybody's interest.
She is Shemp.
In terms of heat.
She is Shemp Kardashian.
Really. I don't know. Is that the Three Stooges?
The Three Stooges. Yeah. Like, there was Mo, Larry, and Curly. And then when Curly had a stroke, Shemp came in and kind of took over.
Oh, I see.
And he was still sort of, you know, suitable and fine and all, but he wasn't Curly.
Well, she doesn't have a hook, except for the fact that she has terrible taste in men. I mean, she's not gorgeous and a porn star like Kim, and she's not hideous and a Wookiee like Chloe.
She keeps getting pregnant. She's the one that pushes out the babies.
Yeah, true.
She's got that going for her. She's having her wedding at Joe Francis's house in Puerto Vallarta, the Girls Gone Wild producer.
So. Awesome. Not interested.
What a classy affair all the way around with this group. So if you're interested...
I hope at one point all the bridesmaids have to lift their tops.
Oh, I'm sure they will. While we're talking about the Avengers, congratulations, by the way, to everyone involved. It's already a mega hit. Hasn't even opened yet. Over $260 million overseas is what it's made.
That's all?
Yeah. They're expecting, roughly $150, $160 million in America this weekend by Sunday. So they're speculating the film would have earned $585 million roughly by the time we start talking about this movie on Monday. How well it
now, I haven't seen Mr. Gregg yet. Is he wearing a suit made of gold in the other room?
He does have people carrying him around in one of those chairs.
That's true.
Yeah. Guys carrying him on their shoulders. So
sounds about right.
He's wearing sunglasses indoors, and he's throwing gold coins everywhere. It's like he's Bacchus in the Mardi Gras parade. It's very impressive. And congratulations to Jack White. Number one album in America,
wow.
Mr. Jack White.
That's why
best album of the year.
That's why we're banging it here at K-Rock.
Where you can't stop playing Blunderbuss.
Oh, man, we're just jamming it down your throats.
Have we played any of it?
I think we played Love Interruption once and then said done.
Yeah, congratulations to Jack. If I'm not mistaken, I think this is his first number one album.
That sounds right
is
to
that
me, Ralph.
Right?
Even,
wow.
Even with
all the other
bands
he's been in, he had to shun all that dead weight to finally get to number one.
Wow. How dare you.
So his solo album, Blunderbuss, debuting at the top of the Billboard 200. Congratulations.
It's so good.
I have not heard it yet, but what I have heard in terms of the single, I do like.
So. He's a genius.
In case you're curious, Adele, still up there at the top of the chart. She's second in the Billboard Top 200 with her album 21.
And that's been out, what, like a year and a half or something? It's still
crazy.
Number two?
Crazy.
She's insane. Lionel Richie is third. With his album Tuskegee.
Obviously. Yep.
Obviously, Lionel Richie's still in the top,
top
three of albums.
Where's the outrage there?
One Direction's Up All Night is fourth.
Sure.
Lee Bryce, Hard to Love. Lee Bryce. Who the F is Lee Bryce?
I think he's a country singer.
I think he's a country singer. Yeah.
He takes the tree out of country. You know what I'm saying?
What's left then, Ralph?
Hold on, let me figure that out. Tree out of country.
Kip Moore is sixth on the list. Nope. I got nothing for. I don't know what Kip Moore is either. I'm guessing must be country, right?
I don't know. I've seen it. I don't know what it is either.
The Wanted?
Yes.
Their self
boy band.
Their self-named debut is seventh.
They're One Direction's mortal enemy.
Oh,
that's
really?
Like New Kids versus Backstreet.
Oh, it's on.
Yeah, you can't like them both. You got to like one or the other. You got to choose a side.
It's like Avengers versus X-Men, that kind of thing?
Yep, that's what
gotta
it is.
Be on a team.
Nicki Minaj is 8th. Gautier Making Mirrors is 9th. And then Jason Mraz is number 10. So there's your top 10 albums on the Billboard Hot 200 album chart. Today's celebrity birthday, sports announcer Greg Gumbel, 66 years old today. Very talented actor Bobby Cannavale, one of my favorites. He is 42 years old. Actor, film producer, music producer as well. Damon Dash is 41 years old today. Dooley Hill, so good on the West Wing. Now he can be seen on Spike on USA, not Spike, Psych over on USA Today. Not today.
Nope.
I can't stop thinking about these cupcakes. I just want to get to her board so I can eat one. Dooley Hill is 37 years old today. Cheryl Burke from Dancing with the Stars is 28. And Christina Hendricks from Mad Men. She plays Joan, of course, on that program. She's 37 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman, and I like cupcakes.
One of the most anticipated films of 2012 is finally here at midnight tonight. We're talking The Avengers. Ladies and gentlemen, Clark Gregg, one of the stars of the show, Agent Paul Coulson, joins us here on the Kevin Bean Show right now. Hey, Clark, how are you, man?
I'm very good. Very much an honor to be here.
Well, let's not get crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, I take it back.
Silly.
You're ridiculous. You have been a guy who has been working, it seems to me, continuously, which is pretty rare for an actor, for a long, long time. I mean, have you ever been between jobs, Clark? It seems like you're never off my TV or off my movie screen.
I'm glad that that illusion has been presented, because I feel like I spend an awful lot of time desperately seeking the next gig.
Waiting by the phone.
But less so once Agent Coulson came into the universe, then there was a certain amount of...
When did Agent Coulson first make his appearance on the big screen? Was it Iron Man?
It was a small part in the original script of Iron Man, and I kind of thought, oh, man, is this guy expendable?
Mm. But was it intended to be?
Not at first. I was talking to the guys from Marvel because I said, no, I'm pretty sure if my memory serves me, I didn't say all this cool stuff originally in Iron Man. They said, no, you're right. There was a kind of cool, snarky dynamic with you and Tony Stark. And so they decided to make him S.H.I.E.L.D. And we still weren't even sure if that was going to, you know, the writers came up with it, if that was going to be the way we got to the Avengers, although that was our hope.
Right.
And then really, it's kind of one of the cool things they've done is they just kind of – they definitely had a fiendish master plan that you're seeing the fruits of this weekend.
Yeah.
But they really evolved it as it went along, and I was in the very right place, right time.
But you should take full credit for making all of it happen
didn't let me finish, and it was all because of – no.
It's got to be enormously gratifying for you to have started off that way, and then in this film, there's so much – fleshing out of your character. You become such a fully formed human being finally in the Avengers.
Yeah,
you know, which
absolutely.
Is great.
Every bit of it has been kind of, I grew up, I read some of these comics. I was into Marvel. I was into this stuff when I was a kid. Spent way too much time scribbling various superheroes on notebooks that should have had math, which is probably why I'm in the arts at this point. So, you know, they said, oh, listen, we want you in Iron Man 2. We're going to bring Coulson back. I was like, really?
That was a shock.
I was a bit of a shock, wow. Yeah. And then I was doing a scene from Iron Man 2, and they said, oh, this time tell him you got to go. Tell him you're going to New Mexico.
Mm.
And obediently, you know, yeah, absolutely, I'm going to do that. And then at the end I said, I'm sorry, what's
in New Mexico?
What's in New Mexico? He said, oh, Thor.
There's a big
hammer
waiting for you
there.
Yeah,
no one told you? You're in Thor.
What?
And then Joss Whedon came up to me at Comic-Con and said, listen, I want to introduce you as part of the cast of The Avengers. And
That's how you found out?
Oh, absolutely.
I was the worst agent in the world.
No, it's Marvel's. Marvel thinks that they're really the CIA.
They keep all that close to the vest?
He said, yeah, let me introduce you as part of the cast. And at that point, I kind of looked around for Ashton Kutcher like,
right.
Somebody who knows me is playing the meanest prank in the world.
Right.
And even so, I thought when I got the script, I'd be like, yeah, okay, I've seen that cast.
Right.
I'm going to be bringing the Hulk and Jamba Juice. And, you know, to my shock... You have seen it. Yeah. Coulson is very much front and center.
That's our amazement, is that they wasted no one.
They wasted no one.
We were just talking about how Joss really serves everyone. Everyone gets their moments. Everyone gets their time on the screen, and they're what they deserve. You know?
It's kind of it's remarkable because all of us thought, well, how's he going to do this? You can't do it. How are you going to take care of everybody without it kind of feeling like an episode of The Love Boat? And, you know, let's cut back to Bob Denver now.
Right.
And
good reference, by the way, for our audience especially.
People don't know that he's Tony Stark's little brother.
That's right, yeah.
to get the script and have it kind of, you know, have all those people, but in a story that just works on its own.
Yeah.
And then to be, for my money, is the funniest one of all.
I agree.
It's
the funniest one of all, genuinely. And I'm not a comic book geek at all. I never read any of these.
Yeah.
But all of the laughs are real. They're not manufactured bad jokes that they put in action movies.
Yeah, which they're all character-based. It comes out of the situation.
It's naturally funny.
Well, Whedon's a great writer. I mean, we've known this for years. And to watch him orchestrate this juggernaut of a film is pretty remarkable. You know?
I have a question for you. I just want to back up a couple steps. So you're at Comic-Con, and was your plan to just sit in the audience and watch the Avengers presentation? Is that what you were there to do?
No. I was there to do the panel for Thor. And I was already having because of the first year I'd been, like, I think it was before Iron Man, I'd been there. And I went around and got the comics that I always, you know, that I wished I had still, and had a blast. And then the next year I was there for the Thor panel, and I went out to pick up a few more comics, and all of a sudden there was, like, people following me going, it's Coulson. It's Coulson. Because they think I actually can get them into S.H.I.E.L.D.
Sure.
Of course.
There's
right.
a little disconnect. I'm like, no, just acting.
A bit.
And then I was backstage, basically, before the panel, and he comes over.
That's the strangest way I've ever heard that somebody found out they're in a movie.
Kind of great, though.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
I love that he introduced himself to you, too.
I know, which is hilarious.
You didn't know who he was, which is funny to me.
And he's a big geek, too. He's a huge comic book geek, Josh.
Oh, yeah,
says.
No. He writes comics.
That's one of the reasons I think the movie succeeds so well, is because the love he has for the material really shines through, I think, on the screen.
Yeah, that's great. I feel that way, too.
And when you're in a scene like that, and you were talking about playing with all the big boys and being a fan, when you're on the set and you look around and there's Captain America and Tony Stark and the Hulk and everything, and you're in the world, is there ever a moment where you kind of say, this is like the coolest thing?
All right, hold on for that answer. We need to take a break.
No,
No, wait.
He won't remember.
I'm not going to remember the question. I'm 50.
Ralph will remember.
Would you say the most confused guest we've ever had?
I've never seen anyone put on the headphones more, that's for sure.
Clark puts them on, takes them off. Puts them on, takes them off.
It's like
a thing you guys do where you try to leave the guest the last one with no headphones and doesn't know what's going on.
We're not trying to... It's like Dustin Hoffman in Rain Man.
I'm paranoid. I'm realizing right here that I'm a paranoid person.
Uh-oh, gotta put the headphones on. Yeah.
Gotta put the phones on. I want to be the guy who hears everything.
Ray, don't put the... You don't need the headphones, Ray.
They're definitely going to put the phones on.
Clark Gregg is here on the Kevin DeVee Show. He is agent Phil Coulson in the Avengers movie, which opens up at midnight. By the way, is the next is Nick Fury, is that what's coming up next? Is Nick Fury, is that the next movie?
I don't know if they're doing
Sorry, my headphone suddenly went dead.
I see.
I think
he's not allowed to mention
Marvel has a squelching device that actually just shuts off everything when you ask him.
I know Iron Man 3 is already in production. They're working on that
one
next.
They start that in a couple weeks.
I think there's another Thor in the works. They're talking about a Hulk movie now because the character of the Hulk and Ruffalo's performance, which is genius in this, has sort of revitalized the concept of going back to the Hulk franchise again and trying to get it right.
Hulk is so funny that they're actually talking a Hulk sitcom. It's called Smash! Exclamation point. It's really going to be good.
Before we move on. You asked a question. We had to take a break.
Yeah. Clark mentioned that he's sort of a comic book geek, and he grew up reading the comics. And I was thinking, as an actor, when you're on the set and the guys are in costume and you're there with Thor and Captain America and Iron Man, is there that geek moment? Do you have that little boy moment where you realize that you have the coolest job?
All right. We have to take another break.
Come on!
I'm just kidding. You can answer.
Can I say it now?
Yeah.
Okay. The fans, some of the fans have a term that I've learned, which is fantastic, and it's called squee.
Squee.
S-Q-U-E-E-E.
And
I'll tell you, I kept reading it going, what does that mean? And then I walked onto the helicarrier, and it's a helicarrier.
Yes, it is.
And I walked into the first scene and I thought, I walked through the door and all of a sudden I was looking at a kind of round table around which was seated, you know, Thor, Captain America, Bruce Banner, Nick Fury, and Black Widow.
Right.
And I thought, squee.
You knew what that meant
Holy
at that
squee.
Moment.
I get it now. Yeah. It's squee. And I look around and it's Robert Downey and Jeremy Renner and Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah. it's an actor squee on the other end of it.
Yeah, I'm having the actor squee too, you know.
What a great experience.
Pretty good gig. I was like, what did I do right?
Until Iron Man came along, did most people who would recognize you on the street know you from New Adventures of Old Christine or West Wing? Were those the two biggies probably in your resume, you think?
Mostly. I mean, to a certain extent, I was still getting that, like, wait, I I feel like you went out with a friend of mine. Who are you?
Really?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, definitely people, the old Christine had its fans and has its fans.
Not from the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles?
No, not too much.
Not too much.
Indiana Jones Chronicles.
Can you tell real quickly your memory of that experience? Because I read that article. It was so funny. Yeah. Just briefly, what you remember most from working on the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
I might be getting in trouble for this one because
right.
It sounds so much worse than it is.
But it's so good.
But I was doing an interview in New York and that guy said, listen, you've been around. You're a wily old vet. You've done a lot of jobs. Let me just say the names of some of your, more and less memorable gigs, and you just say the first thing that comes to mind. And he said, Young Indiana Jones. And I said, Lunch at Hooters with George Lucas. Which sounds bad, and I'm sure I'm going to get a call from George Lucas.
That sounds awesome.
It was really good to me. Geeking out. But it was the only restaurant next to this hotel in North Carolina, and he was nice enough. Saw this, guest actor.
It's also the only time that a man has walked into Hooters and not recognized the waitresses because he's sitting across from George Lucas.
That's true.
That's just crazy.
That's
but
true.
I always think it's so fascinating, though. I mean, we talk to a lot of actors on this program, and you're a guy who, you do the practice and you do Sex of the City and you do whatever gig you can get. And it must almost be like your life just changes just by happenstance when you end up in a role like this. I mean, everything is going to be different now, I would imagine.
It's a task because I've been beaten down so long to become insufferable this quickly, this late in life, but I'm working hard. I know a couple of...
Good luck with that.
I know a couple of particularly insufferable people that I'm going to kind of hang around with and get tips.
That's great. How difficult is it to keep all of those secrets? I mean, how long ago did you film this?
This was shot from kind of May to September.
Of last year. No, this year.
Of last summer.
I'm sorry. I read the other question. That was a stupid question. That was this
last year.
We haven't reached September of this year yet, Kevin.
That would
be a physical impossibility.
It's going to be live shooting that we're going to see this weekend. All right. I take that back.
I just had to take off my headphones. Reboot for a second. May, September. They called me last year and just said, listen, we're going to send you a script. He wasn't kidding. Do you actually have a bigger part? And I thought, really?
Yeah. You still kind of doubted it a little bit.
And then I read it and it was like, this is the Make-A-Wish Foundation. No one's told me, but I'm only going to be here for about another 2 weeks on the planet.
So your farewell.
Let's not spoil anything, people.
What?
Huh? No, he said a Make-A-Wish Foundation. That's what they give to kids who are saying goodbye.
Yeah, I thought someone gave me this.
When they go to leave the planet.
I understand. Okay. I apologize.
Why don't you not spoil anything, douchebag?
The Avengers opens at midnight tonight. You can say not very much about it, but what are your plans for the weekend, Clark Gregg?
I got to say, it's a really fun gig to have because the fans are so into it. And, this doesn't come along that often in your life. There's going to be some people already parked out there. There's people who are watching the AMC Marathon where they're watching kind of all five Marvel movies leading up to midnight tonight. So without saying too much, I can say that I will be up late tonight kind of going around seeing if I can't surprise a few of those screenings.
Oh, cool.
Fantastic.
Buy some people some popcorn. Thank them.
Awesome. Are there cast members too, or just are you the only one who's lurking?
I don't know. I think a lot of people are still, they're at the premiere in God knows where tonight, Berlin,
Uzbekistan, or something.
Yeah, they're kind of all over the world working. So I don't know who else will be there but me.
Awesome.
So that'll be people one of the Avengers is here. It's Clark Gregg.
No, say it's Coulson.
It's Coulson.
Get me in the shield.
Well, it's a fantastic movie. Ralph and I both have seen it, and it is really – he's a comic book geek. I'm not at all. We both just
love
it.
So it works on all levels for all moviegoers.
There's a little something for everyone, as we like to say.
There really is. And you're fantastic in it.
Thank you
as
so
Agent
much.
Paul Coulson. So thanks for coming in today. We appreciate it.
Take the headphones with you when you leave, Clark.
If you'd allow me, I would feel so much better.
Yes. Let's bring on Andrew Siciliano, our pal from the NFL Network, talking about another tragic story. Junior Seau found dead yesterday morning in San Diego. Of course, an all-pro for, I don't know, what was he, 12 years in a row or something like that? He was on the all-pro team, is that right?
Good morning, 12 consecutive Pro Bowls, which no other linebacker had done. He was 6 first-team all-pro, which is kind of viewed differently. It's not voted on by the players and the fans. It's a little bit of a next step, but you don't get to go to the game. So he's a 12-time Pro Bowler and 12 consecutive. No linebacker's ever done that.
Unbelievable career. A lot, of course, mostly with the Chargers, but then went on to play for Miami, I think, and ended his career in New England. But he'd only been out of the league for a couple years, and, of course, much has been said, and we've got a lot of questions for you, Andrew. But how about you? Did you have much personal interaction with Junior?
Yeah, it's been a little bit, but anyone who has worked in this town or covered the NFL or been around SC has crossed paths with the guy. And everything you saw on TV was real. They don't have many quote-unquote model athletes, and this is going to sound like, well, the guy is gone, we're just going to say nice things about it, but that isn't the case. He was a Hall of Famer on the field. I mean, that goes without saying. He will be in Canton, Ohio one day, quite soon. But off the field, he gave millions in charity to San Diego, to all of Southern California, to wherever he played. He was the guy that did the Dirty Job show a couple of years ago, the sports version of Dirty Job. So he can laugh and have fun. The smile you saw, the fact that he called everyone buddy, I mean, that was real. That wasn't an act. If you wanted to say there was a model football player, it was Junior Seau for on the field, for off the field, for his positive demeanor with everything. I mean, a neighbor, I was reading somewhere, I think of a San Diego paper, a neighbor said 2 days ago he was still sitting on his patio on the strand at his house in Oceanside playing the ukulele.
Yeah.
And he was the guy that walked his dog and said hi to neighbors. And there was nothing pretentious about him.
But obviously, he wasn't as happy on the inside as he appeared on the outside. I mean, when I watched your show yesterday on the NFL Network, the NFL Total Access at 4 p.m., I saw Warren Sapp and how much shock he was in. And he's like, look, we never saw this coming. But don't a lot of people think that that incident with the car going off the cliff a couple of years ago, that was also a suicide attempt?
You know, that was the indication at the time. That's what many people speculate. I can tell you this, from someone who was very, very close to him, they told me that it had nothing to do with suicide. It was a night that shouldn't have gone the way it went. Well, let's just say he probably shouldn't have been behind the wheel and that it wasn't necessarily suicide.
Okay, and
they didn't view it that way at the time.
And that was right? A couple of years. 2 years ago?
It was two and a half years ago.
Okay.
Many people speculated. I was told at the time, don't believe what you hear.
Okay. But when you look at yesterday, how do you put your head around committing suicide, first of all, is something that most of us can never even comprehend. But especially when you have kids, which he did, three kids.
Sure.
He leaves back, and without leaving a note to answer questions that the people who love you are going to have for the rest of their lives. I mean, I know that you're not thinking rationally when you make that decision, but it's just it leaves us with nothing but a big question mark. Like, what the hell was going on in that dude's brain?
And imagine the question marks for his family as well. I mean, he sent text messages allegedly to his children, his three children, the night before saying, I love you. I mean, imagine that being your last contact with your father. I can't even begin to imagine it. And there is natural speculation that it must have been from concussions. It must have been from 20 years of football. We won't know. We have no idea. I have no idea.
Yeah, I was going to say.
We have no idea. It's speculation, and it's all we're left with, unfortunately, because he didn't leave any answers.
It seems like that answer is born of our times. You know what I mean? Like,
what about the concussion?
Yeah, that seems to be the headline that everybody likes to go with these days, is that the concussions might be worse than we think, blah, blah, blah. But maybe down the road, it'll be a different headline, and we still won't be able to make any sense of it. But he shot himself in the chest.
Sure. From what I understand, he wasn't in any financial trouble, at least nothing that should bring about this. There have been other football players, certainly, that have committed suicide of late. Suicide is not unique to the NFL, but it does get headlines when it does happen in the NFL, whether it's Ray Easterling a couple of weeks ago, whether it's Dave Duerson a few years ago, whether it was a guy like Andre Waters, played the Eagles
very
some years
few
ago.
This high profile and this, it seems like the opposite of him in every way.
Exactly. I couldn't have said it better. Everything, if you had said to me yesterday morning, this is going to shock you, but a Hall of Famer will commit suicide today, or a man who will soon be in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
It wouldn't have been a million years, said Junior Seau. I'm not. Junior Seau? The guy who you've never seen without a smile on his face?
Yeah, right.
Junior Seau, the iconic son of San Diego who could have been mayor tomorrow if he wanted to. But it just doesn't make any sense.
This is the voice of Andrew Siciliano from Total Access and the NFL Network joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I have to ask, and I'm sure there's nothing to it, but I just want to know your opinion since you know so much about the game and know so many of the people involved, Andrew. There's no such thing as a curse, obviously, but how do eight players from that Super Bowl team, that San Diego Super Bowl team in 94, how are eight of those 45 guys already dead, under 45 years old? Like, that just defies every odd you could come up with, right?
Yeah, it's the 94 team, and it does defy odds. The 94 team that lost to the Niners in Super Bowl 29, there are now eight members, Junior Seau being the latest of that team, that are no longer with us. Now, if you look at how they died, and there were a couple that had heart attacks. There was one that died, believe it or not, in the Value Jet crash in the Florida Everglades some years ago. Now Junior Seau as well. It's not as if
it's not the same thing.
Cluster.
Right, you know, but one dies in a car accident.
Power line. Right.
One dies in a car accident. One gets struck by lightning. I mean, it is more than just problems from being a big NFL player, you know, with heart conditions. I mean, it's weird.
You know, it didn't hit me until about 30 minutes in after we had found out yesterday. But then someone said 94, remember? And there had been an article written, I think, in the Union Tribune in San Diego about a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, detailing all of that. This was before Junior, clearly. And I remember at the time saying, wow, that's odd. And then when you add, you know, the most high-profile player from that team, it's scary. But without going X-Files on you, there's not a lot of connections to draw between the eight.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's just one of those things you just got to look at and go, wow, I don't get that. But it appears to be. If I was one of the other guys on that team, I'd be careful. I know that.
I don't see you being an NFL player, Bean.
No, I
so you won't have
not.
To worry about that.
Yeah, I think the window of you getting into the NFL is passed. Right.
Well, it was obviously terrible, terrible news, and you know, millions of people were fans of this guy, especially around here. You know, he was a star at USC for those 2 years and everything, and Southern California obviously followed this guy forever. So it's super, super tragic, and we could see it on your faces on the NFL Network all day long yesterday. I know it was a tough thing for you to have to report on, Andrew, but thank you so much for joining us here on the show today to talk about it.
Hey, you guys never know. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, man.
If gas prices are in the way for a fab weekend getaway, come enjoy the fun and sun at the legendary Riviera Palm Springs. Go to psriviera.com and enter promo gas up to pump up your stay. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Did you in fact say fab weekend? Did
I
you
did.
Say fab?
I did.
Fab.
It is Palm Springs.
Woohoo! Fab weekend.
The white weekend.
The world famous K-Rock 852. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
You better hurry up and get those Avengers cupcakes while they last. That's all I'm telling you.
How many do you eat, Kevin?
Kevin hasn't had one yet.
Really?
I think you should let Beer Mug go first. Let's not be rude.
That's true.
I just had Thor's hammer in my mouth.
Yeah!
And it was delicious.
Been dreaming about that for years.
Delicious. Everything's edible on those cakes.
I know.
Including Thor's hammer. I tweeted a picture if you want to see it, at Ralph Garman. On Twitter, you can see a picture of my Avengers cupcakes, which are now down. We're down one.
Down one.
All right.
But they shall live on forever in that picture. And in my belly! You want to see another reboot of Dukes of Hazzard? The Dukes of Hazzard.
No.
Can I say no on
the
that
Return
one?
Of the Dukes of Hazzard.
I'm saying no.
The original series, of course, was on from 1979 to 1985 on CBS with Tom Wopat and John Schneider.
No way. Not ever.
Then we had the reboot in 2005 with Sean William Scott and Johnny Knoxville as Bo and Luke. Jessica Simpson famously put on the Daisy Dukes.
Yeah, that didn't
to play
help.
Daisy Duke.
I don't think.
Didn't help, didn't hurt.
Yeah.
Because that movie wasn't going to be any good either way.
Yeah, that's true.
That was Willie Nelson co-starred in that, if I recall, Ralph.
Really?
Yep.
You're going to talk about Willie Nelson over Jessica Simpson's amazing ass in those shorts?
Yeah, she did look pretty good.
The last time she looked really good.
I'm not negating that she was also in the movie. I'm just saying Willie Nelson was also in the reboot.
Well, Jodie Hill, co-creator of Eastbound and Down and good friend.
I like that. I like Eastbound and Down.
Who's the guy who stars in that show?
Danny McBride.
Thank you, Danny McBride. They are talking about doing a reboot of the Dukes of Hazzard.
Hmm. Is he talking about being in it?
I don't know. I don't think McBride's talking about being in it. I think he's going to write. And perhaps co-direct or produce, but if anyone could do it,
yeah,
I think they could probably pull it off. They have a pretty good sensibility, especially about redneck stuff. they tend to get that pretty strong.
Sure.
So there's a possibility. Legendary Beatle Ringo Starr has a new cause. He wants to save the rhinos. Okay, Ringo's got too much time on his hands. His website has now photos of rhinos, and he's got all kinds of facts claiming that rhinoceroses are on the endangered species list, so he wants you to save the rhino. And must be a nose thing. Must be that he feels simpatico. They got a giant horn, and he's got a giant horn, so maybe he feels there's some compassion
there. He's afraid the poachers are going to come after him?
First rhinos, then drummers with giant noses. Jack White, congratulations to Jack White. Number one album in America today. His album debuted at number one on the Billboard 200. Blunderbuss is its name. Jack said he had to get rid of a fat drummer in order to get a number one record, so that's how it all worked out. So congratulations, Jack. Glad you could make that happen for yourself. Celebrity perps in the news. UFC fighter Ross Pearson got popped with a DUI in Las Vegas this week, swerving all over the road, 4 a.m. on a Sunday morning. Just put a target on your back. Just put a neon sign in your car saying, please pull me over.
Yeah.
Metro. Word is he failed the breathalyzer test, but this comes from a source inside the police department. He failed miserably, they said.
Really?
Yes. And was hauled in and released later. Wiz Khalifa got popped for marijuana possession.
Shocking.
Busted for the second time in less than 2 weeks this week.
Wow.
Ticketed and released following his concert in Winston-Salem, North Carolina on Tuesday night. And Puck from the Real World San Francisco is... Are you writing a novel, Pete? What's going on there? It's the loudest typing I've ever heard.
Sorry.
Puck from the Real World San Francisco, he is behind bars in Van Nuys County Jail. For 2 months he's been there. Apparently he got pulled over by the Cal State University Northridge cops.
Really?
Yes, he got busted by college cops.
Might as well be Paul Blart.
They found out that he had an outstanding warrant for his arrest, and he had failed to appear in court, so they turned him over to the real police. And the next thing you know, he spent 2 months so far behind bars in Van Nuys County Jail.
No one is rushing to bail him out, it sounds like.
No, he's got a $225,000 bail put on his head, but no one will pony up to get him out, least of all his wife, Betty, since the crimes that he was supposed to be in court to face were both felony counts of domestic violence and violating a restraining order. So the longer this guy's in prison, the more I like it. Yeah. YouTube apologized today for banning the video of Kate Upton doing the cat daddy dance in a bikini.
They should apologize for that.
She linked it from her Twitter account for everyone to see, something she did with famed photographer Terry Richardson during a shoot. And they looked at it and said it violated their community standards guidelines. Pulled it off the website. Then put it back online after everyone on the planet said, hey, put that back.
It still is so unbelievably arbitrary when you consider how many girls in bikinis there are on YouTube. And believe me, I know.
And most of them shouldn't be on YouTube in videos.
Right.
We don't want to see them.
Yeah, but this one we want to see.
Yeah. They apologized today.
They apologized.
Saying, with a massive volume of videos on our site, sometimes we make the wrong call. When it's brought to our attention that video has been removed mistakenly, we act quickly to reinstate it. So you can see it.
I've never heard YouTube go, our bad.
Yeah, please don't kill us. So you can see it if you want to. And I recommend that you do. She likes to dance.
She does.
She's just young and carefree and bosomy.
She likes all of those things.
She does.
She does. She's not
and they
shy.
And in the cat daddy video, she kind of covers up. You know, then she's a little
at
shy,
the end,
a little embarrassed.
Sure. Yeah.
After shaking her moneymakers for 2 minutes, then all of a sudden she gets a little nervous.
That bikini top was hanging on for dear life.
Yeah.
Has any celebrity made more videos in a shorter period of time for the internet than Kate Upton?
No, and God bless her.
Not enough videos, if you ask me. Well, Greg Gumbel, maybe. He's made more videos in a bikini.
Mm.
As we look at today's birthdays, he is 66 years old today. Actor Bobby Cannavale, super talented guy. He's been around for a long time. Just now sort of getting his due. He's on Nurse Jackie. Plays the new administrator at the hospital there on that show, and he's been terrific so far. 42 years old today. Damon Dash, music and film producer, also an actor, is 41 years old. Dulé Hill from The West Wing, and currently can be seen in Psych on USA. He is 37 years old. Actress Christina Hendricks from Mad Men turns 37, and Cheryl Burke from Dancing with the Stars is 28 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Someone, I don't know who it was, tweeted this week. They were at the gym, and they were working out next to Dr. Drew, and they were just talking about how hunky he was.
It was you, Bean.
Wasn't me.
Yeah.
Wasn't me.
Oh.
Just, some Dr. Drew fan checking out his pecs. Hey, Doc, how are you, man?
Guys, how are you? Good
Very
morning.
Good. Great to have you on. We appreciate you squeezing us in with your busy schedule.
I was just thinking, man, you sure it wasn't in a tanning booth? Did you guys see that tan mom?
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable. Do you love her?
Oh, my God.
That's the best.
How could that be for real?
If you're going to go for it, I mean really go for it, then you might as well go all the way like she did.
We put a picture of this woman up at krock.com as our picture of the day yesterday. You have to check it out. Doctor, I'm not exaggerating when I say she literally looks like an Oompa Loompa from the Willy Wonka movie, right?
That's too light.
Yeah,
she's
like,
about three shades darker. It's bizarre, but she's defending it too. Well, I've been tanning a long time. Don't you understand? Oh, good. Oh, that explains it.
Yeah, that's much better.
Is she begging for cancer? Like, is she insisting on skin cancer if she continues to go in and tan like that?
Yes, I mean that's the message I tried to put out last time I was doing it on HLN, which was that this is really a health issue. Forget the parenting part, which is what everyone's up in arms about. There's, you know, squamous cancer, melanomas, and basal cell. I talked to a girl last night who'd already had two basal cell cancers. She was like 29 and still tanned. Good times.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Does it drive you crazy, especially in Southern California, Dr. Drew, when you see hundreds of thousands of people laying out on a sunny day at the beach trying to get rays?
It doesn't drive me crazy because I'm a little guilty of myself. I was a lifeguard back in the day in Laguna, way back, and so I'm going to get my
what?
Shares. Yes, that's crazy.
You were a lifeguard?
Yes, it's crazy. But
did you ever save any lives?
Yeah, like every day. That was rough surf. Like regularly, we would pull people out all the time. And I'm sort of guilty of it too. But let's come on. We know a little more. It's time to really get out of the UV. And the health risks are well known now. So let's get on with it.
Well, check out that picture if you get a chance at krock.com. Let me ask you about something else, Doctor, since we have you on today. And that is this new survey that just came out. They did a huge survey on teenagers who smoke marijuana. Now, after many, many years of the decline in marijuana, all of a sudden, this latest survey suggests that it's way up. Teenagers who said they have smoked pot in the last month, up 42% from the last time they did the survey. Up 26% teenagers who say they have smoked in the past year. And I guess the last time was 2008 they did the survey. And nearly 10% of U.S. teens, about 1.5 million, smoke marijuana heavily, which means 20 times per month. Yeah. What do you make of these numbers?
That 10% are doing it on about a daily basis, which means that they're probably addicted to it. And it's a very seriously addictive drug for some people, not for everybody.
It's not addictive.
I tell that to my patients that can't stop.
You
can stop or you can't.
It's not addictive.
We've seen them on Celebrity
Dr. Drew,
Rehab.
For God's
some people
sakes.
Can.
Let's not lie to people.
Right. It's certainly not as addictive as some of the other really seriously addictive medications, and opiates and pills are a bigger problem or other place we've been losing ground. And the fact is, what these researchers
Who's
were saying.
Who's the doctor, you or me?
I know. It's Bean. I mean, Kevin, if I were your house, I were a plumber, I said, you need to put this faucet here. You go, okay. But I'm a doctor, you're going to argue with me about.
Because I know.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
back to that. But the fact is that what they were just trying to say is that, look, parents are sort of winking at kids going, well, at least it's only pot, like Kevin, of course.
How dare you?
And the point is it's not something just to let wink past, and it's something to pay attention to, and I've been saying that for a long time. And I'm not saying – we're not talking about the kid that smokes four times a year. We're talking about the kids you're finding pot in their backpack and in their room. It's something that it's a real health issue needs to be dealt with, and that's all. I mean, it's like any, you know, and I'm not saying it's a horrible evil drug, and I'm not comparing it to morphine. I'm just saying we got a bunch of things on the list we got to attend to, and this is just one of them.
When I was coming up, and my parents were talking to me about drugs, not that they needed to because I was pretty square, but the rap then was, and tell me if this is still
the
case.
What's the explanation there, Kevin? If he's not doing drugs,
how dare you, Dr. Drew?
Square.
The rap for me was not that pot was going to be terrible for me. Was that 100% of people who light that first joint go on to become heroin addicts.
Yeah, well, that's absurd.
That's what they – I mean, essentially, that was what my – you know, they were like, gateway drug. If you do this, you're going to do everything. I mean
– I don't understand why you didn't spark up right there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Giving you that BS.
What's the research on that? I mean, would you say the vast majority of hard drug abusers, though, started with something like pot?
I wouldn't say the vast majority. I'd say it's a common story that people start with nicotine. That's the drug. They start with cigarettes.
Is that right?
And then they use alcohol and pot. And if they get momentum with pot, the problem is that when they fall in love with that drug, its effects wear off over a period of time. Some people it's a couple of years, some people it's 20 years. But when it wears off, they escalate the use to try to get the effect back, and then it wears off more, and they start looking around for other ways to feel better, and that's when they transition to something else. So it's not a gateway. It's not like if you use this, you're going on to that. That's false, and that's why kids know that. But it is something that when it stops working, people do search around for another way to get high.
You have daughters in college, Dr. Drew.
I have one. One daughter in college, two boys.
Okay. If you found out, or if your daughter told you she was smoking pot fairly regularly, would it wig you out?
Hey, or
would it be something you'd be able to keep in contact
with? Your kids? No. What I do, I would say, you know, I would take it out of my hands, and I wouldn't try to control it or anything. I'd say, you need to go talk to somebody and see if this is a real problem or not for you. Because I know that as a parent, I wouldn't try to go do it alone.
If I'm Dr. Drew's kid, I would never tell him.
No. Yeah, probably,
there's so much
would.
Going on that you don't know
never.
About Dr. Drew.
Well, but at you know, 19, 20, they might tell me. At 14, they wouldn't. But at 19, right. 20, they might. And I would say, look, this is your life at this point. I know that at that point I can't do anything.
No, but you'd call the police on him, wouldn't you?
No, when they were 15, I would.
Well, it was an interesting study, though. But curiously, and I thought this was my final remarks, Dr. Drew, is that, you know, you've been preaching so often on television and on Loveline about prescription drug use. It seems like that seems to be going down for teens, according to the survey. Not as many getting in trouble with Vicodin and things like that.
I think all these celebrities that are dying of these prescription drug issues are sort of sending a message out. But
yeah.
Make no mistake, it's just sort of plateauing. It's still a massive problem. We're doing a rehab show right now. You know, we're doing a celebrity rehab with just regular people. We're in the middle of treating 8 people right now. And all of the opiate addicts, every one of them either started with pills or are slamming pills still. And all of them are getting prescriptions, all of them. All the patients, all 8 of them. And so prescriptions are always figuring into the spectrum
yeah,
of what happens now.
That's the that's their claim to safety, as my doctor gave it to me.
You have,
right.
We had that exact conversation yeah. in group yesterday, which is I've taken it as prescribed. I was prescribed this medicine, and it doesn't matter when you're addicted.
You know, I've had back trouble for a long time, and it's almost impossible to find a doctor that doesn't want to give me something.
Yeah. Hello?
It really is.
Go to
come
Dr.
this way,
Drew.
Kevin. Yeah, come
imagine
on.
Imagine how stingy Dr. Drew is with the old prescription pad.
No. Way he's
ran away screaming. He was in my office once, I believe.
I was. I think you put your finger up my butt, though. And in my defense,
well,
it was a cough.
To be fair, Kimmel was there with a microphone, if you remember.
Sure. You can hear Dr. Drew along with our buddy Mike Catherwood on Loveline 5 nights a week here on K-Rock. And don't miss him every weeknight on HLN. Thank you for the time, Doctor.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
And now, a moment with Ralph.
So good on the West Wing. Now he can be seen on Spike on USA. Not Spike. Psych over on USA Today. Not today.
Nope.
I can't stop thinking about these cupcakes.
That was A Moment with Ralph.
I'm better now. I've had a couple cupcakes.
You have. Good times.
Yeah. Captain America. I ate Captain America's shield. Suck it!
Who? What was better, who? Captain
America? Hydra and all the other villains who always try to get past Captain America's shield?
Oh, we can't. It's indestructible. Wrong. I just ate it.
It was a cupcake, Ralph.
Or was it?
It was.
Or was it?
It was.
What was better, Cap's shield or Thor's hammer?
Thor's hammer was a little better.
Yeah. Really?
But they were both good.
Yeah.
But Kevin comes along and takes half a bite out of Iron Man's face and then leaves the rest of the cupcake behind.
Only because the King of Mexico was talking all morning about wanting that one.
Fine, well then eat it. But
that's
you don't take
I
a
said.
Bite at it. But you took a bite out of it and left it
yes.
in the cupcake box.
Because he said, he all morning, he's like, I'm going to eat it.
Right, so you want to burn him, eat his cupcake.
No.
Eat the whole cupcake,
no,
though.
No, just part of it.
You don't leave it with your mucus behind, all of your cupcake just left behind.
Didn't bother me. I took a bite right
Lisa
behind
followed
him.
Me.
I know, you're both foul.
Took
you're
another
foul.
Bite of his face and then left it for me.
You are creature's most foul.
But I think what they're trying to do, Ralph, is make it even more torturous for Dave by
correct.
Having the cupcake remain in the room
part
in a condition that they cannot eat, that he cannot eat.
Well, what did the rest of us do that we need to be punished by seeing his half-eaten slobbery cupcake left behind in the cupcake box?
Kevin, goddammit.
Well, good times with Captain America cupcakes here at the station, I'll tell you that. Ralph is here now. Time for the showbiz beat.
Nice segue. Good times.
It is good times.
All right.
Look, anytime someone sends over
cupcakes.
Free baked goods,
yeah,
we're in,
good.
Right?
Yeah. We're all about that.
Hulk's face is still left.
Yeah.
Might have to eat Hulk's face some later today.
I already licked it.
What?
Thank you.
While we're talking about the Avengers, Samuel L. Jackson, of course, is Nick Fury, head of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the new Avengers movie that comes out tonight at midnight. New York Magazine did an interview with Sam Jackson, and he revealed that as a child, he was a stutterer and was teased mercilessly and constantly, he said. Well, I guess he said mercilessly, constantly, by other kids. And he finally got relief when his aunt took him to a speech therapist.
Hmm. Said, like in the movie.
At that point, his self-esteem got a major boost. What movie?
King's Speech.
Ah, the King's Speech.
King's
yes.
Speech, yeah.
And then he was no longer ashamed of the condition, and he was able to move forward and become an actor and have quite a successful
life. And I think
it's
so fascinating to me, this whole stuttering thing, that it's mental, that it's not a physical thing for most stutterers. They're able to sound those words out, but they just can't do it mentally, yeah. Which I think is just amazing.
It's like Kevin can speak. He can speak English.
Just sometimes.
What's going on up there in that giant noggin? That's the problem.
There's a prism that all of my thoughts go through, and then when they come out in the words, they're not exactly in the order that they should be.
The prism's cracked.
Yes.
He actually speaks well English.
He does speak well English. Amber Riley of Glee passed out on the red carpet last Tuesday.
Oh, wow.
Which one is she?
She's
is she?
Little Precious.
Okay.
Yeah.
Passed out?
Yeah, she was walking the red carpet. She just went down, just collapsed.
Fell down. Wow, yeah. That's not good.
Yes,
go ahead.
No, that's
don't
not
do
nice.
It.
Make
no.
the joke.
I'm
no.
not going
make
to.
Make it.
Don't need to.
Don't need to.
Always make the joke that you try to self-censor. That's my rule.
It's just mean.
Yeah.
There have been a lot of earthquakes in Southern California recently, though.
Yeah, see, that's where I was going to go. It's just it's
not
low.
Yours would have been funny.
Low hanging. Yeah, first of all, it would have been funny, but second of all, low hanging fruit. That's all. It's just
it's all I can reach, man.
She's very nice. She seems very nice. Very talented. Very pretty.
Mm-hmm. She sounds fat. For.
She wants everyone to know that she's fine. She got dizzy from all the flashes in her face. She said,
"Nope."
That happens, does it? Unless
no.
you have
that is a lie.
Epilepsy,
yeah, where the flashes apparently can send you into a seizure.
Based on nothing, I'm proclaiming that a lie.
But she thanks everyone for their concern and well wishes. She wants you to know she's fine.
Well, good.
She's fine and past the gravy, she added.
Way to circle back.
And Mike Tyson is going to Broadway with his one-man show, Undisputed Truth. He said he wanted to. Just before he opened up at the MGM Grand Hotel in Las Vegas, and apparently it was a smash hit there. Sold out.
Fantastic.
Wow. I can't believe that.
Celebrities like Rosie O'Donnell, Paula Abdul, and Vince Neil from Motley Crue were all seen at the performances.
Black man can't have a successful one-man show, Lisa? Is that what you're saying?
I just don't know that you would understand what he says.
Doesn't seem like the cat. Remember we had him on and he just wouldn't stop eating? He had a mouthful of food every time he
No, I'm good. I just want to entertain. That's what I do. I'm an entertainer. Why don't you come backstage, Lisa, and see me in my dressing room after the show? And then
maybe not.
I'll discuss pigeons with you.
Mike Tyson, Undisputed Truth, heading to Broadway. Eric Niederlander of the legendary Niederlander production family says that they're going to find a theater and it's going to be on the Great White Way.
That's a terrible idea.
I think it's a great idea and I can't wait. Charlie Sheen is suing a strip joint in New York City. And not because one of the strippers gave him herpes or something along those lines, like you would think. He's suing them because they're honoring him.
What?
Cheetahs in New York City has honored him by naming their VIP room the Charlie Sheen VIP room. Charlie contacted his attorneys, and they sent a cease and desist order over there.
Boom.
Even after he contacted his attorney, the club invited Charlie to come down and have an eat and greet in the room, which features women exhibiting the art of body sushi. That's quite the VIP room. You go in there and eat sushi off a stripper. Charlie's lawyer, Marty Singer, said, no thank you, and then released the following press announcement. Charlie has nothing to do with this. And it is unfortunate that these despicable parasites have not been exterminated. Do they have to be exterminated? Can't they just stop calling the room the Charlie Sheen room?
Does he know,
have to be snuffed out?
Does he know who he represents?
Apparently he does not.
And they didn't break into his home and kidnap his children, right?
No.
They just named a room after
him. Yeah. I don't even think they even put a sign up. I think they just call it the Charlie Sheen room. So
if you do the crime, you got to do the time.
I don't think they need to be exterminated, Marty Singer.
I'm going to pass.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Greg Gumbel. He is a sports announcer, brother of Bryant Gumbel.
Which one's your favorite Gumbel, Ralph?
Oh, geez. I don't have one.
No preference between
I don't think I have a preference for a Gumbel.
Okay.
He's 66 years old today. Actor Bobby Cannavale currently can be seen on Nurse Jackie. He's 42 years old today. Damon Dash, music and film producer, actor in his own right, 41 years old. Dule Hill from West Wing and from Psych. Over there on USA.
Well said.
Thank you. He's 37 years old today, as is Christina Hendricks from Mad Men. She plays Joan on that show, and she's just the best.
What do you think of her character arc this season?
I think it's been great.
Oh, Kevin.
Kevin.
It's been great. Really
think
good.
You think Joan has bounced back?
Fleshed out really
well. You think
well.
She made the right decision regarding her husband?
Yes.
I don't watch that show.
Oh, you don't watch
right.
it.
Oh, that's right. I forgot you didn't watch it.
How about all the sick time you had? How about all the, I was a 103 fever. I sat on the couch. I watched everything you could find. Ran out of things to watch. Couldn't watch enough things.
I watched absurd things when I was sick.
Why didn't you watch Mad Men? Why didn't you catch up with Mad Men?
I don't know. Can't answer that. I don't have an answer for that. I didn't record any of them.
Prosecution rests, Your Honor. You have the box set on DVD.
Yeah, whatever.
And they're available on Netflix streaming every season.
I'll get to it.
You're going away. You're going away. You're going to do hard time. You're doing hard TV time, sir.
I didn't know that was one thing, is it?
Now I'm stuttering. Samuel L. Jackson, it is. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Comedian Jim Jeffries in the studio with us. One of the funniest people in the world.
Leave your bananas at home.
He's scared of bananas. He's
scared of bananas.
That is a weird thing.
But he is one AIDS away from looking fit.
That's one of his jokes, by the way. Do not email us. We also have Chael Sonnen talking about the UFC. We have Movie Beat because it's Friday. And we have You Drink Your Own Urine.
What happened? What happened there?
And we have the very final pair of tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta.
You don't have to drink your own urine to win those, do you, though? Please tell me that.
No, you do not.
Yeah, it is.
Is that the contest?
That's the contest. Yeah.
We'll discuss. We'll figure that out.
Kevin's Golden Shower, we're calling it.
That's tomorrow morning.
Tune in.
All new Kevin.